Now, Auntie Vera Charles is a little upset because she thought you were going to say Vera Speaks.
Don't forget me.
But you already listen to Vera Speaks, don't you?
Yes, I listen to Auntie Vera Charles.
Yeah, whatever.
Everybody listens to Auntie Vera Charles.
And me.
She's almost as big as Big Fatty. Well, not in terms of weight.
No comment.
In terms of podcasting.
Oh, I thought you were going to say ball size.
Ew.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know anything about Auntie Vera's balls.
Gee, this seems to be that very uncomfortable time. Nobody knows what to say.
Funny.
It's not just ruined. It's me, Big Fatty, online.
Well, hello, everyone. It is the Fat One, and this is episode 127 of the BFO for Monday, the 28th of July, 2008. Coming up on today's show, I'm going to talk to you about my trip to Myrtle Beach for Tiara Hara and the opening of the Apple Snack Store. Woohoo! Oh, Lord, y'all, I hope your Monday is going well. The Fat One is dragging a little bit because it has been a very, very busy weekend. Just to recap, we had a fundraiser at the Patrick's Pub, the basket raffle, on Friday night, and then Saturday morning at 10 a.m., we had the grand opening of the new Apple Snack Store here in Charleston, and I've posted a couple of pictures of the free t-shirts that they gave out at the Apple Snack opening, and I'll talk about all that a little bit more in just a few minutes. And then Saturday night, Big Fatty and the members of the Hara group went up to Myrtle Beach when we took Tiara Hara 4 on the road to Myrtle Beach and had a fundraiser up there. And then Sunday afternoon, it was back to Charleston. And then Big Fatty had a Biloxi Blues rehearsal Sunday night. So there is no rest for the weary. But I can tell you that this coming weekend, I will not have anything on my agenda. And let me just double check that, make sure I don't. No, I don't. And I am looking forward to a Friday and Saturday and Sunday afternoon, DJ David J, with nothing to do except some relaxation. So Big Fatty could use some of that. Now, y'all, before I get any further into today's show, I want to offer an apology. Because Big Fatty totally overlooked Auntie Vera Charles's sesquicentennial episode, which was posted on Friday. And I'm so sorry that I missed that sesquicentennial episode, or missed telling you about that sesquicentennial episode. But you can always go over to the iTunes and to the Auntie Vera Charles website. I don't know what it is, but you can just go and click on it through the BFO. So, you know, and you do not have to use the www if you go to the BFO. So, you know, right there, it's just easier if you do that. Now, y'all, that is one of the reasons that we had the little homage to Auntie Vera at the opening of today's show. Now, everyone, I have got lots to talk about, but I'm afraid that I am going to start nattering on and get distracted and forget to do the memory lane music. So, y'all, let's just go ahead and get that under our belts now. So, not under our belts. Jesus, God, there's so much already under there. Oh, Lord. Well, y'all, I think today's memory lane music is going to be a little tough for some of you, although I know that there are a couple of people that will know this one right off the bat. But your clue for today is, ooh, ha ha.
Thank you.
Y'all, did you recognize the theme from The Ghost and Mrs. Muir? Well, that was a situation comedy based on the 1947 film of the same name. It starred Hope Lang as a young widow who rents Gull Cottage out near Schooner Bay, which is a fishing village. It is haunted by the ghost of a sea captain played by Edward Mulhare, and he calls the cottage, which he built himself, his ship, and it has a reputation amongst the locals, so they don't want to be there after dark. Now, the series is based on a book by R.A. Dick, and it was developed for TV by Gene Holloway and filmed at the Hollywood Studios. Hope Lang won 2 Emmy Awards as lead actress in a comedy series, and the show ran for 2 seasons starting in 1968, part of a group of supernatural TV shows in the 1960s that also included Bewitched and I Dream of Jeannie. Now, you may be wondering what the clue was all about ooh, Well, that the woo was the ghost, okay, and the ha-ha can only be one person, and that was Charles Nelson Reilly. He was on The Ghost and Mrs. Muir, and he played Claymore Gregg, who was the town clerk and the captain's descendant, although Captain Gregg denies vehemently that they were related. Plus, he was Mrs. Muir's landlord. So, that was the theme from The Ghost and Mrs. Muir. Well, now, y'all, I have picked up a couple more voice letters since our last get-together here. And, you know, I think that I am going to play a couple of them for you right now.
Hello.
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 Oh, hello, Barney.
Hello.
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 Bonjour.
Hi.
How you doing there?
Yo.
Hello.
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 Yo, yo.
Hello.
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 Hello, Big Fatty. It's Straight Bob here in the Australians. I'm the newest Southern Hemisphere boy. I'd like to let you know that I'm never homesick down here. There's one thing that makes me feel like I'm back home in Boston. It's listening to a guy from South Carolina talk about touching himself. Well, that's about it. Thanks for the show. And by the way, what's all the mystery about the gift, y'all? See you, Fatty.
Well, thank you very much, Straight Bob. And y'all, Straight Bob, you know, I know the volume was a little low there, but I've pumped it up as much as I could. But anyway, I was going to say, it sounds to me like Straight Bob may have lost his Boston accent. I'm not quite sure, and I wish there was a way that we could compare Straight Bob's Boston accent with a current Boston accent. Oh, well, let's just play this voice letter then.
Hey, Big Fatty, it's Brian from Boston calling, and I am calling you from your favorite place, the Boston Eagles. I'm kind of hammered, and I'm here with some friends having a grand old time, and I thought I'd just give you a ring and say hello. And I hope you can hear the music in the background. The Boston Eagles probably the same as it was last time you were here in the 1950s, and it hasn't changed one little bit. So hope you're having a good night, and I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Well, thank you very much, Brian from Boston. And y'all, if there's something that makes me want to touch myself and make Straight Bob feel homesick, it's a call from Brian from Boston to Big Fatty, telling Big Fatty that he's hammered. I mean, there's just something about the word hammered coming out of Brian from Boston's mouth while he is in the Baca up there in Boston. Y'all, I have told stories about the Boston Eagle, that Big Fatty had a very good time there one evening and met someone that was very delicious in the touching department. So, anyway. All right, well, let's see. And I'm guessing that Brian from Boston called me from his iPhone. And that brings Big Fatty to his talk about the Apple Snack Store. Now, y'all, it opened at 10 o'clock on Saturday morning, and Larry Cly and I went down there. Now, Larry Cly had a friend up, and he went with us, and we were all going to go at 6 o'clock, and thank God Larry and his friend, we'll call him Larry. So Larry Cly and Larry kind of drove by and kind of scoped it all out. Now, there were people in line on Friday evening outside the store. And Saturday morning, the line had gone down the street, one storefront, and then around the corner. And I would say by the time Larry Cly and Larry picked me up and we got parked and got in line, there were probably, oh, I'm going to say 50 people ahead of us in line. And after we got in line, the folks just started lining up. And I would guess that there were probably a couple of hundred people in line when they opened the doors at 10 o'clock. Did not open it 1 second sooner. However, it was quite the hootenanny. There was quite the collection of people waiting to get into the Apple Snack Store. And y'all, it's a pretty store. Larry Clyde took some pictures, but I have not received them yet. So once I get some of the pictures, I will let you know. But you might also check over at his podcast website. That's at the LK Today, and you can click on that through the BFO and see if he's posted some. He also took some video of the whole event. But y'all, we were in line. I guess we got in line a little bit right around 8 o'clock before 10 o'clock opening, and we were just chitter-chatting and listening to other people's conversations and talking shit about people and stuff like that. But y'all, at about 9 o'clock, all the employees came out in their, came out of the back of the store and around the corner, up in the street in front and down the side street and all, in their light blue and dark blue and orange Apple shirts. And, you know, the dress code for Apple is that they have colored t-shirts, which tell you what position that person has in the store. And then they also can wear whatever else they want. I mean, there's not a dress code. I mean, I guess they do have to wear pants. But, I mean, they can wear flip-flops or boots or sandals or tennis shoes and shorts or jeans or, you know, I'm guessing maybe a thong would not work. And I don't know about a kilt, but, you know, who knows? And, they came out into the street and they were doing, there was sort of like a little pep rally. And they were talking to people and asking them questions about, are they excited and all this kind of stuff. You know, they did some Apple cheers and all. And y'all, just listening to the rumors, there was a rumor that Steve Jobs was going to show up for the grand opening. And, of course, he didn't because, you know, he's in very poor health. I don't know if you've heard that or not, but which is not true either. But anyway, it was just quite the hootenanny. And they came around with bottled water for folks, which was great except for the kind of cute, crazy guy who was pushing his little cart around selling bottled water or Coca-Cola for $2 a bottle. And then he was kind of out of business when Apple started giving away the bottled water. But y'all, Apple gave away the bottled water. They gave away the free T-shirt and the free Wi-Fi was coming out of the store. So everybody was on their iPhones chitter-chatting and all this kind of stuff. And so then the store opened, and when the store opened, they kind of formed people into two lines. One was for people who wanted to buy iPhones, and the other line was for folks who just wanted to come in the store and shop or just look at the store and all this kind of stuff. So the longer of the two lines, from our standpoint, was the iPhone line. And so we kind of bypassed a lot of people, and we walked in the store, and all these employees, y'all, they must have had 75 employees working in this store that day, because, you know, it was the grand opening, and I'm sure they brought managers in from other stores, and they probably have these groups that go and are there to open stores and things like that. And then once all the hootenanny calms down, they move on to the next store. But you walked in, and they were all lined up down both sides of the entrance, and as you went by, they were giving you high fives and all this. It was very rock star. So we just kind of shopped around in the store a little bit and checked it all out. It's your basic Apple store, but it was very clean and sleek. And it's where all the cool kids were. And, you know, Big Fatty was right there. And the TV news was there. And because, you know, this is the first Apple snack store in South Carolina. And evidently, and I've not seen this, but evidently the news story from the television station that was there covering it did feature prominently, well, Big Fatty. But, I mean, and if Big Fatty is going to be featured, it's going to be prominently. But Big Fatty was in the B-roll, as they call it, of the Apple Snack Store grand opening. So I've had several calls from folks. Miss Kitty has called. I've seen you in the Apple Snack Store line. You know, you're such a rock star, blah, blah, blah. And then on the way out, they gave us each a little white box with a little silver tab on it with the Apple on it. And inside that was the complimentary free T-shirt that they gave everybody who came to the grand opening. And, y'all, I should have known that Apple would not just hand you a T-shirt. They're going to give you something that you go, wow, they went the extra yard. And so I've posted some pictures over on the BFO of the box that the T-shirt came in. And then the inside of the box, it wasn't just a regular box. It was this thing that opened up and kind of unfurled like a flower or something like that. Oh, dear Gussie. And then, you know, inside is the Apple silver and the Apple logo. And then was the black T-shirt. And the across the front of the T-shirt is the Apple logo. And it's the Apple logo and the words King Street. And it was fabulous. And Big Fatty is very excited to have been part of history here in Charleston with the opening of the Apple Snack Store. Now, I didn't get to tell you about the fundraising events over the weekend. And I've got a couple of more voice letters that I want to play for you. But, you know, I think, you know, instead of trying to cram it all in 5 seconds, I think I'm just going to wait and do that on the Tuesday show and give you an update on the play and all. And I hope that you will give me a call and you'll join me again here on Tuesday. Bye-bye.
I'll be listening, that's for sure.
You can leave a comment on the website at bigfattyonline.com, and you don't have to use the www, or drop me an e-letter at ruined@bigfattyonline.com. Or call the voice letter number at 206-337-1438. That's 206-337-1438. And give me your good gosh and gay. Me! This has been a presentation of the RNL Podcasting Network.